on. Well, good evening, Liberty. So good to see all of you. God bless you. And hello to our Facebook family and friends. It's so good to have you joining us tonight. We're here to worship the Lord. Let's stand. What a privilege it is to do this. Let's stand, and we'll begin with page 106 in that blue hymnal, At Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not it was for me, he died. Knowing God it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my rapture soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gold that God did spend at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
And you can be seated.
From Psalms 34, we want to look for prayer this evening. As Psalms 34, I think it's in about verse 17. I may be a little bit off there. And it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. That's verse 18. And save such that have a crushed or a broken spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Would you go with me before the throne of God? Father, we thank you tonight that we come to a delivering God. We thank you that we come to a remembering God. We thank you that we come before the throne of a God who looks upon his people, who has plans for his people, who desires such great possibilities for his people, who wants to bring them out of the miry clay, who wants to restore unto them the joy of salvation. Father, we also have loved ones that we need to see caught up in salvation, and loved ones that we need to see the joy of God to fall upon them again. And everybody in here says, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Spoke to, met someone for the first time in my life this week, and she was sharing with me her story. A lot of heaviness, a lot of heartache, but she was so close to God. And she said, Jimmy, there are so many days, so much of the day. All I can say is, I choose you and I trust you. I Amen. Choose you and I trust you. Amen. Do we have to have an elaborate prayer? He knows our details. He just wants a humble and sincere heart. Let's sing this beautiful song, The Love of God.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how marvelous and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, O rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels song. Could we within the ocean fell, and were the skies of parchment made, every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God, and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Let's do that chorus one more time. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore, the saints and angels' song.
Praise the Lord. Do we have any celebrations? Any birthdays or anniversaries to celebrate? Are there any guests or visitors that would like to introduce yourselves? We'd love to get to know you if there are any. Any guests or visitors? All right. Again, we're just so glad that all of you are here tonight. Let's sing this beautiful song, He's All I Need. He's all I need. Page 266.
He's all I need. He is all I need. Jesus is all.
First verse one more time.
He's all I need. is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need.
You're all I need. You're all my, I need Jesus.
You're all I need. If you can change those words. We can do that. You're all I need. You're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need.
Praise Him, church. Hallelujah.
Oh, you're all. You're all I need.
Let's do that one more time. You're all I need.
Oh, you're all I need. You're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Oh.
One more chorus. We'll do this. I don't think we have the music for it, but it is, I love Him because He first loved me. So I think we may have the words for that. She's all over it. She didn't have it till a while ago, and I asked her to put that in.
She is fast. She's quick. She does a marvelous job.
Yes. Yes. Sheila. Yes. Sheila. Yes. Some of you may think she's imaginary because you don't ever see her. But trust me, if she wasn't here, you'd all know it. You'd all know it.
That's right.
I love Him because He first loved me.
I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
One more time.
I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jimmy, for coming and leading the music and the praise this evening. Welcome everybody to the throne of God Facebook family. There y'all are. Can I move this down? Yeah, I think so. I'm going to try to move this around. Short people have a tendency for that microphone to get in their face, be able to cut you off when they're having to do it like this. Everybody be praying for Ron Tripp. He's out of town. Be praying for Danny tonight because Danny is not well. I have not had a chance during this day to be able to contact him since he did me early this morning. I will be trying, if somebody can remind me after church, have you called him? I'll call him and find out how well he is doing. And there are many others. And this morning in the 9:30 service, I had a chance to be able to sing the song Down From His Glory. And I've pressed upon Brother Paul to allow me to sing it again. And if you all know this song, Down From His Glory, let me see. I'm going to drink some water from this. If you know it, then join with me. Yeah, the words are going to be up there on the screen as we offer up this beautiful song.
Down from His glory, the ever-living story, our God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Born in a manger, to His own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Oh, how I
sunshine, my all in all. This great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight. God gracious, tender, laid aside His splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all. This great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. Without reluctance, flesh and blood, His substance, He took this form of man, revealed God's hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary, and now I know He is the great I Am. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all. This great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. Dwelleth in Him. Tonight we want to look at a thing somewhat about Thanksgiving, but we want to look about faith. Faith and Thanksgiving, I think you can call this message this evening. First of all, let's start, and we're going to look at two portions of Scripture. One is going to be in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and then the other is going to eventually be in Luke 17, starting with verse 3. In chapter 20 of Matthew, we're going to be in verse 1. Let's swim in the Scriptures tonight, if it's possible. Let's be in the midst of the Scriptures whenever the storms of life are thrashing the little boat around, and Jesus is in the vessel with us. If it's possible this evening in the thrashing around, Jesus may not be in the vessel, but He is coming, walking or dancing upon the waves to where we are. And that we might be able to be aware, it doesn't matter whether we're swimming or we're fishing or we're thrashed or we're alone, that the Word is getting ready to take us somewhere amazing. Starting with verse 1 of chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven, do you realize that you've been destined to begin to enter into the kingdom of heaven in this life? And you've been destined to be a part of the kingdom of heaven when this life is through. Every step we take here, every step we take here will make heaven sweeter. And if there are steps that we should be taking that we're not taking, oh, I don't want to lose any of the sweetness, because the sweetness here will become even more sweet there. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. He manages a large economy. I'm thinking about America today. Do you realize that the rest of the world has the ability to live and enjoy the full blessings that they do because of the economy, not that great machines of industry or men of industry have raised up here, but great blessings that God has given to America that those machines should have been raised up. And we want to think about God's economy, God's household, and in his household, what all is available. And as he said, he went out early in the morning to hire laborers to be in his vineyard, to be a part of his household. Are you a part of the household of God tonight? And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, now a penny's not a bad thing. I don't think there's anybody in here that'd be willing to work for a penny a day. But a penny in Jesus' day was a day's wages. How much is that? That changes from time to time. Whenever money becomes worth more or worth less, the wages begin to change. And I'll guarantee you something, if you're not aware of it, the American dollar is becoming worth less and less and less all the time. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a day's wages, he sent them into the vineyard. And they all went saying, "Thank you, God. I have a job today." And we should be getting up in the morning and saying, "Thank you, God. He has plans for me today." And he went about the third hour, which would be 9 o'clock in the morning. I think the first time he went out was about 6 o'clock in the morning. And about the ninth hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, waiting for their opportunity. Maybe you're one of those people that's waiting for your opportunity of what God wants to do in your life. Or maybe you're one of those people that is waiting for the opportunity of someone you love. And Jesus went out, and he saw them there, and he said unto them, "Go you also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you." And they went their way, and they said, "Thank God. I've been waiting and I thought I wouldn't have anything today. I would not receive anything today. I don't know how much I'm going to receive, but I'm going to get something." That's a marvelous faith. And they went their way. And he went out about again to the 6:12 noon, and about the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he did likewise, saying, "Go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." And about the 11th hour, that would be 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And this afternoon at 5 o'clock, it was already beginning to be dark, wasn't it? How much would there be for a person to be able to go into the vineyard at 5 o'clock in the afternoon this time of the year? Not much time. But they knew that they would not go home. Not go home empty-handed. They would go home with something. The day had been long. It didn't look like there was much to be had in that day, but they would not go home empty-handed. And he found others standing idle and said to them, "Why stand you here all the day idle?" And they said, "Because no man, there has been no one who has seen us, no one who believed in us, no one who was willing to take us under their wing or to hide us in their shadow." And he said, "Go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right." I love the fact that when Jesus is telling here, he uses this particular phrase, "whatsoever is right." I want you to know something. God doesn't look at whatsoever is right the same way we do. Because I'm going to tell you, by going out again at the ninth hour, 3 hours later, we would say, "Well, I'm going to have to subtract something from that." And going out at noon, I'm going to have to subtract even more. And going out at the third hour and the fifth hour, I'm going to have to subtract more. Don't you want to know that God, his salvation plan for whatever hour of life you're in, is always overflowing with blessings. that you shall receive. And so when evening was finally come, evening I would be, I guess, when the sun had gone down, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire. Are you ready to be called? You do realize that the Lord of the vineyard, and if you've got anything in this life, it's because you've been laboring in his vineyard. And the Lord of the vineyard is going to call you to him whenever it is the close of the day. And he said unto them, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they that were hired at the 11th hour at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, everyone received a day's wages. Think of the joy. This is Thanksgiving time, is it not? When are we going to, during these days that are yet to come, when will we think of the joy of what it is to, even though it may have been late and we didn't think there was going to be much, but we were happy that we got a little bit of something, that we get everything that salvation has to offer. Have you given up on salvation? Do you no longer look forward to what salvation may offer in a day? Have you given up on salvation in parts of your life that you say, well, I'll just do the best I can. I can't possibly believe that salvation is going to do more there. Then you don't know what God wants to do, because he wants to call you into his economy. He wants to bring you into his vineyard, and he wants to give you whatsoever is right. And he gave them each a day's wages. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a full day's wages. Every man received a full day's wages. What were they doing in the morning? They had no idea. What are we doing in life if we don't know that God has plans? We have no idea. We're all hoping for something amazing to happen. Facebook family, in your places where you're shut off from everybody. You, more than anybody else, has no idea what God is wanting to do, how he's wanting to bless you, how he's wanting to be with you, how he's wanting to make sure that whatsoever is right, because you're not hearing that in those lonely places where they are, where you are. You're not hearing that. Most of us in the church aren't hearing that God is wanting to do whatsoever is right. And every man received a penny, and when they received it, they murmured, oh God, salvation is so much bigger than my mind can even put itself around. If I receive the wages that salvation has to offer, I'm receiving more than my hire could ever be. And they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. And you have made them equal unto us. We're all equal. There is neither male nor female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile. We're all equal to the promises, to the blessings, to the plans of God. If you say, but I've been here working all this time, I'm going to get to that in a few seconds, because you have been in a unique position. And he said they said unto him, these last have worked but 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, and we have borne the burden and the heat of the day. And he answered to them, and he said, friend, I do you no wrong. Did you not agree for the full wages of the day? Have you agreed with Jesus for the full wages? Not the wages of sin. For we know what the wages of sin is. The wages of sin is?
Yeah.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You're getting whatsoever is right. It's not the wages. It's of sin. You're getting eternal life. What is eternal life doing for you today? And if you say, well, not much, then you need to cry unto the Lord. And so it says here, did you not agree for a penny? Take that that is your thine and go your way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Here's the thing. The people that had been in the vineyard all day long, what was their rejoicing like when they were being called? Have you ever been people that have stood and waited for a job, or you went looking for a job and you weren't able to find one? Maybe that's been a long time ago and you've forgotten what that was like. Or maybe you always had somebody who made a way for you. I can remember at the earliest part of my life, whenever my parents said, Phil, you got to get a job. And I said, I don't even know how to do anything. And they said, well, go out and look for one anyway. And how that whenever jobs opened up for me, generally they were for things that I could not. I had no training for doing at that time, but somebody believed in me. And that the man who had the economy of his household, he believed in the people that he chose all day long. And he offered to them all of the benefits. This is a good thing to be able to talk about at Thanksgiving. I know some of you all are not going to have very many people at your house because they're saying, they, and we'll say, well, who are they? Well, there are those who will say, you're not supposed to have anybody at your house unless they've already been there for 14 days. Yay! We're loving it. Thank you for making my life so wonderful. Whenever the master of the house, and he called them into his house, he didn't say, well, y'all are going to have to wait till y'all have been separated and long enough. He said, come on in. Whatever is right, I will pay you a full day's wages. And they had the joy of being there all day long. They didn't have to worry about when they went home that evening. They didn't have to worry about what they would have at the end of the day. They didn't have to worry if they while they were there. They enjoyed the labors that they were doing. They said to him, they said, we have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But they had the full guarantee of the master of the house. We've got the full guarantee. Is that a burden to bear? To know that we have the full guarantee of the master of the economy that we belong to? So we need to be thinking about it as we're getting ready to go now to Luke the 17th chapter. And in Luke, the 17th chapter, we want to pick up in verse 3. I think that's the verse I said, isn't it, Sheila? Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that. And it says here, because we want to think about this, because there were some that were that had thought that the master of the house had trespassed against them. Weren't there? They said, we have borne the burden and the heat of the day. And it says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him, tell him. And if he repent, forgive him. Now we have there are two important parts to Thanksgiving. The one is to know who we belong to and to know his plans. That's a good thing to be able to give thanks for. The other part of Thanksgiving is to offer such sweet forgiveness. Because there's never a better time of the year to offer forgiveness. Facebook family, surely you're going to have some family around. Maybe all you're going to be able to do is do like you're doing right now. Having your phone out and looking at them. Do you know that this forgiveness that you can offer to them will be as sweet over your phone as it will if you can be in their presence? And so we see here, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespasses against you seven times in a day, seven times in that day, turn again. And in that day, turn again to you saying, I repent. You shall forgive him. Sweet forgiveness. Not say, well, all right, you're worthless person, you. I love this. My mother had a dog. Well, she's had several dogs. My dad would put up with her getting dogs. I don't remember my dad ever getting a dog and bringing it home. And she'd bring home a dog and he would say, what in the world are you doing? We don't need another dog that's going to chew up everything in the house and it's going to mess up all of our rugs and everything like that. My dad would carry on something fierce. And then after some period of time, he'd begin to look at that dog somewhat reproachfully and he said, you worthless dog. And then after a while, that he never stopped calling them that. But after a while, it wasn't, you worthless dog. He would say, come here, worthless dog. That dog would look at him, and he'd look almost the same way at that dog. And we want to know that it's important for us to offer sweet, sweet forgiveness to those that God has given to us to love. It's important. You know, if you're in a situation where you're needing to offer someone sweet forgiveness, if the best way to offer someone sweet forgiveness is to say, I love you so much. I'm so thankful. Thanksgiving again. That you belong to me. And the apostles, and you remember that John came to him, or came to him and said, if my brother sins against me seven times in a day, am I supposed to forgive him seven times? And Jesus said, no, not you. You're supposed to forgive him seven times 70 in a day. Sweet forgiveness. You know, that's a pretty difficult thing to do. I want you to know something. If we forgive those who trespass against us, our Heavenly Father will so arrange the plans that He has for our lives that we will walk and experience as a person who has been forgiven much. Now on to the last portion of the scripture we're looking at today. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. I thought about bringing some in here, but y'all have all seen the mustard seed I bring in here. It's not that little yellow mustard seed that I used to see years ago that some people would buy and have as a little ornament that they'd put on a bracelet around their neck. It's a little black, withered looking thing. There's the mustard seed that is from the gardens of the Middle East. And it's the smallest of all the seeds that you would plant in the garden, and it grows the largest of all the plants. Out of that little mustard seed, if it's in good soil, oh, we want the word to be in good soil, don't we? Is there some part of your heart tonight that you say, Lord, don't put the word there? Because I know that's not good soil. I'll guarantee you, if you know that there's a part of your heart that's not good soil, and you call out to God, the Holy Spirit will so begin to crush that part of your heart that it will become good soil. And so if you plant that little mustard seed, it becomes the largest of all plants. It usually grows somewhere between 17 to 30 feet high of all the plants. That little mustard seed that Jesus is talking around here. And he said, but it only grows in 1 year. You don't plant it and it doesn't come back every year. You have to plant it every year, the little mustard seed. So if you all know how faith is like, you want to be planting it often. Every opportunity that you get. And if you're not planting faith, you're not looking for the increase. And if you plant faith, you should be looking for the increase that of what faith can only bring. And he said, if any of you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree. A sycamine tree is a mulberry tree. How many of y'all like mulberries? Oh, come on. All of us like mulberries. I love mulberries. I don't like getting them all over me. Don't like the fact that you generally have to climb up in a tree to be able to get them. Whenever I first moved here, I went to Horace Mann School. Horace Mann School at that time had a big old mulberry tree on the west end of the playground, and we were specifically told, do not get up in that mulberry tree because you'll get paddled if you get up there. Well, we would be over there, and eventually somebody would climb up in that mulberry tree, and somebody got paddled. You know, I never did figure out for a long time exactly how it was that they knew that I had climbed up in that mulberry tree. I just don't know why. I mean, I was in about the fourth or the fifth grade when we came here. I guess I wasn't very bright, but there I'd have that purple on my fingers, and I would have purple around my lips. But here's the thing about a mulberry tree. Their root system is amazing. And they can last for years and years and years. Some mulberry trees will last for 60 years. No, they will last for 600 years. But if you've got faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mulberry tree, be thou plucked up by the root. And be you planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. So which is more powerful? The mulberry that can last for 600 years, that has an amazing root system, or the mustard seed of faith, which has to be planted every year? I want you to just think about that for a little bit. Am I planting seeds, mustard seeds of faith? But which of you having a servant? Now, we just talked about servants, didn't we? People that were called in to be able to be in the vineyard. and to work in the vineyard? For which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle or taking care of sheep? I don't know if any of y'all have ever taken care of sheep or taken care of cattle. I have done a little bit of taking care of cattle, not much. I'll be real honest with you. I never did a whole lot of taking care of cattle, but my uncle and my dad, they school leased land out off of Hardesty and 102, way out there on the southeast corner of that, and there was a half a mile in on Hardesty and all the way to the next mile down below that they leased that school land, and they got it for a song because it was school lease land and the state of Oklahoma didn't seem to know what to do with it. So they would lease that every year, and they would raise, at first they raised cows that they had to bring bulls in to be able to get them to have calves with, and then after a while they thought that was too difficult. They just bought calves or steers and they raised them out there, and we would raise those. And dealing with cattle or dealing with sheep, if you've got to take care of them, at the end of the day, what do you feel like? You're worn out. You've dealt with those things all day long. The sheep, you've got to be watching them all day long because sheep aren't really smart. They don't know where they're supposed to be. Cattle aren't either, but they're not as likely to get into a bad place as often as sheep are. So you see here, it says, which of you having a servant plowing? How many of y'all have plowed? And I'm not talking about, because back in Jesus' day, they didn't sit up in the John Deere with the air conditioning and the highest techs and all the things going on inside so they could listen to all the latest country music, or maybe they wanted to listen to all of the latest heavy metal or whatever it was that they were setting up in there, but they plowed all day long. They plowed generally with an ox or with a mule or something like that, and they were plowing all day long. And at the end of the day, what do you feel like after you've done that? Some of y'all have had gardens recently, working out in the garden all day long. And what do you feel like at the end of the day? And this is talking about having a servant who has been in the vineyard all day long. And will say to him by and by when he's come in from the field, go and sit. Will you say to him, go ahead and sit down to meat? Well, that's what we do with young people today. They always seem to go to the table first, don't they? Do y'all remember whenever young people always went to the table last? Well, I'm glad that you do, because I want you to know the world is turned upside down. Young people need to be taught to respect their mothers and their fathers. Will not rather say unto that servant, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward you shall eat and drink. And the world is definitely turned upside down if any of you think that this is not the way that it should be. Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I do not think so. So likewise, when you shall have done all the things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable, or we have just done what was required of us. And every day, when you're looking at the day, and you've done what you've done, it may not have exactly turned out to be easy peasy. It may have turned out to be oh so very nasty and greasy. And you need to say, I've just done what I should have done. So as I've done what I've committed, I've done what I should have done, and I've done that which was my duty to do. Thank you, Father, that we can know what our duty is, and we can also know what it's like to offer forgiveness and to give thanks. We've got just a little bit more to go, and then we'll be finished this evening. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered there into a certain village where he met 10 men that were lepers. Is there anything in the economy of God for those who are in such an afflicted position? Well, the church has been robbed of the economy that we have to offer to other people, because the nation has taken on many of the things that we knew we were responsible for doing at one time. And that part of our nation has become exceedingly voracious and needing more and more funds. My grandfather used to have a couple of old coon dogs, and it was amazing how that they could get ticks on them, And before they could get the ticks off, the ticks would begin to look like they were just about ready to drain all the life out of those coon dogs because they were sucking more and more blood out of them. And we need to know that part of the economy is for us to deal with those who have ticks on them that are sucking all the blood out of them. And there were 10 lepers, and they stood afar off. Where was their place in God's economy? Their place in God's economy was to call out to God. Maybe you feel there's nobody here for you tonight. Well, you need to be calling out. Or maybe you're looking at someone else and you feel like there's nobody there for them. I just wish there was somebody. Well, if you cannot be that somebody, you need to be calling out to God for them. And they lifted up their voices and said, Yeshua, Jesus, teacher, have mercy upon us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself to the priest. Well, this was the thing that they were required to do if they ever got healed. I want to ask you all to do something, because I've been trying to search the Old Testament, and I from this pulpit have been saying for several years now that I have never found, except for someone who was not a Jew, in the Old Testament who was healed of leprosy. And yet they were required by the law that if they had been healed, they were to go and find a priest and offer up a small portion, because a leper wouldn't have anything. They would have to beg to be able to get the small portion that they were to offer to the priest to examine them to see that the leprosy was gone from their bodies. And so he's basically saying, go your way to the priest. You know what you have to do. You know what the law says? You're supposed to have a small portion of money. You're supposed to ask the priest to be able to examine you. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. I have to ask you, Facebook family. I have to ask you, Facebook friends. And I have to ask the people here at the church tonight. Have we given up on going? Because it's possible in these days in the COVID generation, and these days when everything that evil is being called good and good is being called evil in America, to be one of those who has given up on going. And he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went. I mean, all he did was said. He didn't get over and pat them on the back and offer them the chicken wing and tell them a few stories to make them feel better. He basically only said, go show yourself, expose yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. So if we're looking for how many are still going as they went, and we're going to see how many of them turn back, we're seeing that all the time that the percentage is getting less and less and less. How many people had been in Jesus' presence whenever they had the opportunity to cry out and to say unto him, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon me. How many of them gave Jesus the opportunity to be able to say to them, go show yourself to the priest? So we're going to see that shrinks down to just 10. And then of the 10, we're going to see that there's only one of them that returns. It shrinks down even more to just one now that turns back. And this time in America, faith is a prime commodity. It's worth more than silver or gold. It's worth more in heaven's eyes than all of the wealth of America. If anybody's got faith and is willing to use it, it's worth everything if you've got faith. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice. Oh, no, we're in a Baptist church. You're not supposed to have the loud voice. The only one is the preacher. He can have a loud voice. And we really need to call on him every once in a while and say, yes, you can do that better. You don't need to get so loud. Hold it down. We can hear you.
But this one turned back with a loud voice. Was it for Jesus that he turned back with a loud voice? No. It was for the others that might have been with Jesus. This one wanted the others to know that there was a possibility of becoming a part of God's economy. There was a possibility of all the rest of their lives enjoying the benefits of being in the vineyard. There was a possibility of enjoying the forgiveness that only God can have, and that thanksgiving was the best way of being able to honor God by giving thanks and embracing others with thanksgiving. And he returned with a loud voice and he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was not even a Jew. In America today, America is broken and divided into an unbelievable number of people who feel like they have no connection with anybody else. And this Samaritan who said, I have no connection with God, I have no hope left at all, he realized that God, the master of the vineyard, wanted a connection as much with him as any Jew. And he fell at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, and you need to get ready to come because I'm going to close it down really quick. You say, well, we've heard that before, Brother Phil. Well, you can come up here and sit but then as soon as I get finished, be ready to jump up. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, I didn't say, were there not 10 Samaritans? He didn't care whether it was Jews or Samaritans. What difference was there among them in the eyes of Jesus? He said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? Were there not 10 that had all the benefits? Were there not 10 out of all the ones in Israel that need that today? Now, again, I want to say, if you can find in the Old Testament where any Jew ever received healing from leprosy, I want to know about it. Because I want to be able to preach a more excellent sermon than any of I've ever preached before. And there are not found that have returned, but this one that gives glory to God, and he is a stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, for your mustard seed you've planted well. How many of you have planted a garden and you realize you just didn't really plant too very well? And Jesus is saying, you have planted well, has made you whole. If we're in the season, the COVID season. You'd all say, I don't know whether I'm going to make it through or not. No, it's time to go. It's time to go into the vineyard. It's time to go and to go to show ourselves to the rest of the people. And it's time to come back and to give glory to God and to give thanks. It's time to be God's man and God's woman in God's place, ready to see what faith can do. Thank you, brother.
You're all.
Let's all stand.
Father, I want to ask your blessings upon those that have come out on this evening.
I want to ask your blessings upon the Facebook family and the Facebook friends. I want to ask your blessings upon everyone that we have gathered with us here this evening, not knowing it, or perhaps hoping that something could be said tonight for them also. And I want to help, ask your help. Lord, we were meant to be planting seeds that might not be able to last more than just a season, but they can be more powerful than anything that we might be able to plant that would last 600 years. Be with us as we walk in these next few Thanksgiving days. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget that on Wednesday night, we will be having the Lord's Supper here the day before Thanksgiving. God bless you all this evening.
Danny, they were trying to chicken something that means.